Uncle Daniel's sermon. Are you going to meeting, Mammy? Asked Diddy one Sunday evening as Mammy came out of the house, attired in a best flowered muslin with an old-fashioned mantilla that had once been Diddy's grandmother's around her shoulders. Of course I'd wind a meeting, honey. I was trying to solve the Lord I is. Case we ain't got to stay gone this year all the time. We got to go to another country, child. And if you don't go to meeting and watch and pray like the books say for you to do, then you must look out for yourself when that big day come, what I hear them talking about. Can't we go with you, Mammy? We'll be good and not laugh at them shouting. Don't know what you want to laugh at them shouting for. If you don't mind, the loft going to be turned some these days, and then what laughs at your laughs out here, them's the ones what's going to do the laughing when we get up yonder. But let alone that, you can come if you want to, if you make haste and get your bunnies, because I ain't going to wait no great while. I don't like to go to meeting after it starts. I'm on here but Donald's text or does. I can never enjoy a sermon doubt now here's the text. You may be sure it wasn't long before the children were all ready, for they knew Mammy would be as good as her word and would not wait for them. When they reached the church, which was a very nice wooden building that Major Walton had built for that purpose, there was a large crowd assembled, for beside Major Walton's own slaves, quite a number from the adjoining plantations were there. The younger niggers were laughing and chatting in groups outside the door, but the older ones wore very solemn countenances and walked gravely in and up to the very front pews. On Mammy's arrival, she placed the little girls in seats at the back of the house and left Dilsey and Chris and Ryle on the seat just behind them, for to mind them, as she said, for the children must always be under supervision of somebody. And then she went to her accustomed place at the front, where Mammy was one of the leading members and sat in the Amen corner. Soon after they'd taken their seats, Uncle Gabe, who had a powerful voice and led the singing, struck up, "Roll, Jordan, roll, roll, Jordan, roll. I want to go to heaven when I die for the hill, sweet Jordan, roll," and so on. And as the flood of melody poured through the house, the groups on the outside came in to join the singing. After the hymn, Uncle Sacred Bob led in prayer, and what the old man lacked in grammar and rhetoric was fully made up for in fervency and zeal. The prayer ended, Uncle Daniel rose, and carefully adjusting his spectacles, he opened his Bible with all the gravity and dignity imaginable and proceeded to give out his text. Now, the opening of the Bible was a mere matter of form, for Uncle Daniel didn't even know his letters, but he thought it was more impressive to leave the Bible, have the Bible open, and therefore never omitted that part of the ceremony. "My brethren and my sisters," he began, looking solemnly over his specs at the congregation, "the text what I was going to give for the instruction this evening, you'll not find in the foremost part of the book, nor yet in the hind part. He's swatuated more in the middle like, bouting as fur from one end as tears from t'other. And the words of the text is this: Behold, I'll punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. My brethren," embracing of the sistren, "I's been stressing my mind about the wickedness I sees are going wine on. Every night the Lord send us dancing and laughing and fiddling, and if the man raises him a few chickens and watermelons, they ain't safe no longer on his back's turned. And let alone that, there's quarreling along one another, and there's sassing of white folks and old persons, and there's drinking of whiskey, and there's beating of wives, and there's deviling of husbands, and there's inference of children, and there's making fun of religion, and there's singing of real tunes, and there's slighting of work, and there's staying for meeting, and there's swearing and cussing, and there's every kind of wickedness and devilment loose in the land. And my brethren, take them to sistren, I've talked to you, and I've told you of the goodness and the long-suffering of the Lord. I told you out in his book, while he leads you aside the waters and be a shepherd to you, and you kept straight on and never paid no attention. So t'other night, while I was a laying in the bed and a studying what to preach about, something kind of speak in my ear. And it says, Burdell, you've told him about the Lord's leading of him, and now tell him about his driving of him. And my brethren, including the sisters, I ain't going to spare your feelings this day. I'm a stand here for to deliver the message about in the book, and this is the message. Behold, I'll punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. You all hear it, don't you? And now you want to know who shot it? The Lord. It's true, he shot it by a poor old nigger. But then it's his own words. It's in his book. And firstly, we'll consider this. Is he able to do it? Is he able for to kill master's niggers with the sword of the famine? My brethren, he is able. Didn't he prize open the whale's mouth and take Jonah right out in him? Didn't he hold back the lions when there was a rampant and a tearing round out of down in the den? When the flood come, and all the earth was drowned, didn't he paddle it off till he landed it on top of the Mount of Rats? Yes, my brethren, embraces of the sister. And the same Lord who done all that, he's the man what's got the swords and the famines ready for them what feels themselves too smart to obey the teaching of the book. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters by the famine. Oh, you church members, what shouts and praise of Sundays and steals watermelons of weekdays. Oh, you young men, what's a cussing on a robin of hen roosters. Oh, you young women, what's a singing of real tunes. Oh, you children, what's a sassing of old folks. Oh, you old persons, what's a fussing and quarreling. Oh, you young folks, what's a dancing and prancing. Oh, you niggers, what's a slighting of your work. Oh, pay attention to the message this evening, in case you're going to wake up something these mornings, and door at your door be the souls and the famine. Behold, I'll punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. Brethren, and likewise, sisters, you don't know what you're fooling with. Them swords and them famines is the worst things there is. There's worse than the rheumatiz. There's worse than the toothache. There's worse than the cramps. There's worse than the lockjaw. There's worse than anything. When Adam and Eve were turned out in the garden and the Lord wanted to keep them out, what's that he put there for the skim? Was it the alpha? No, sir. Was it a lion? No, sir. He had plenty of beasts of every kind, but then he didn't care about using them. Was it rain or hail or fire or thunder or lightning? No, my brethren, it was a sword. Because the Lord knows whenever they see the sword, God, they won't want to face it. Oh, then listen to the message this evening. The young man shall die by the sword. And then again, there's them famines, my brethren, take it in the cistern. Them famines come plumb out from Egypt. They turn them loose there one time once, and the book says all the land was sore, and thousands on top of thousands was slain. There ain't no way for to get around them famines. You may hide, you may run in the swamps, you may climb the trees, but brethren, if never them famine gets out of you, you're gone. They'll catch you. There's nothing like them on the face of the earth. Lesson is the sword. There ain't much charge twixt them two. When it comes to swords and famines, I tell you, gentlemen, it's nip and tuck. Yet the message, it says, the young man shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. Now, brethren and sisters, and mourners and sinners, don't let's force the Lord for to drive us. Let's try for to solve him, and for to get along down to the swords and the famines. Come up here around this altar and wrestle for religion. And then them few of us, what is godly, me and Brother Snakebit Bob and Sis Haley and Brother Gabe and Brother Lodge and Brother One-Eyed Pete and Sis Rachel, Mammy, And Sis Hannah, we're going to put in licks for you this evening. Oh, my friends, you done hear the message. Oh, sparse the souls and the famines. Don't drive the Lord for to use them. Come up here now this evening, and let us all try to help you to get through. Leave your dancing and your singing and your playing. Leave your whiskey and your cussing and your swearing, and turn your mind to the souls and the famines. When the Lord watches them souls out in Eden and them famines out in Egypt and turn them loose on this plantation, I tell you, man, there's going to be scared niggers here. You won't see no dancing then. You won't hear no cussing. There's no chickens howling of a night. There won't be no real shooting sung then. You'll want to go praying, and you'll be calling on us for the steadfast in the faith for to help you. We can't help you then. We'll be a-trying on our wings and a-flopping them. Yes, bless God, that's a snake bit Bob. And a-getting ready for the start upwards. We'll be a-lacing up them golden shoes. Yes, master, thus mammy, for to walk through them pearly gates. We can't stop then. We can't live no message then. The book will be shut. So, brethren, hear it this evening. The young men shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. Now, I've said enough. There's no use for the keeper talking, and all you backsliding church members, trembling sinners, and weeping mourners, come up here this evening and try to get around them souls and them famines. Now, my scalp is clear, claw, because I done delivered a message. I done told you where it come from. I told you 'twas in the book. About midways twixt in and in, and whether David read it, or Samuel read it, or Genesis read it, or Paul read it, or Ephesians read it, or Lashans read it, that ain't neither here nor there. That don't make no difference. Some on them read it, because it's surely in the book, for the overseer's wife, she read it to me out and there. And I took tickle of notice, too, so as I could tell you right where to find it. And brethren, I'm a-telling you the truth this evening. It's just about the middle, twixt in and in. His star shows you born, and there ain't no way for us to speak in it. Now, to get around it, except for a turn from your wickednesses. And now, Brother Gabe, raise the tune and sing it lively, brethren. And while they're singing it, I want you to come up here and fill these mourners' benches plumb full. Brethren, I want mourners from top of mourners this evening. Brethren, I want them in crowds. I want them in droves. I want them in layers. I want them in piles. I want them laid from top of one another. Brethren, till you can't see the bottomless mourners. I want them piled up here this evening. I want them packed down, man, and then tromped on to make room for the next load. Oh, my brethren, come, for the young men shall die by the sword, and the sons and the daughters by the famine. The scene that followed baffles all description. Uncle Gabe struck up. Oh, leave the woods of damnation. Come out of the fields of salvation, for the Lord's going to burn up creation when the day of judgment come, and so on. And while the hymn was being sung, Uncle Daniel had his wish of mourners upon top of mourners, for the benches and aisles immediately around the altar were soon crowded with weeping niggers. Some were crying, some shouting glory, some praying aloud, some exhorting the sinners, some comforting the mourners, some shrieking and screaming. And above all the din and confusion, Uncle Daniel could be heard hallooing at the top of his voice, "Dem souls and dem famines!" After nearly an hour of this intense excitement, the congregation was dismissed, one of them at least, more dead than alive. For Aunt Celia, who had long been known as a powerful, sinful woman, had fallen into a trance, whether real or assumed must be determined by wiser heads than mine, for it was no uncommon occurrence for those seeking religion to lie in a state of unconsciousness for several hours, and on their return to consciousness to relate the most wonderful experiences of what had happened to them while in the trance. Aunt Celia lay as if she were dead, and two of the Christian men, for no sinner must touch her at this critical period, bore her to her cabin, followed by the church members, who would continue their singing and praying until she come through, even if the trance should last all night. The children returned to the house without Mammy, for she was with the procession which had followed Aunt Celia, and as they reached the yard, they met their father returning from the loft. "Papa," called Dumps, "we're going to have awful troubles here." "How, my little daughter?" asked her father. "The Lord's going to send souls and famines, and to eat up all the young men and everybody's sons and daughters," she replied earnestly. "Old Dan'l said so in meeting, and all the folks were screaming and shouting, and Aunt Celia's in a trance about it, and she ain't come through yet." Major Walter was annoyed that the children should have witnessed any such scene, for they were all very much excited and frightened at the fearful fate that they felt was approaching them. So he took them into his library and explained the meaning of the terms swords and famines, and read them the whole chapter, explaining how the prophet referred to the calamities that would befall the Hebrews. But notwithstanding all that, the children were uneasy and made Ann Miller sit by the bedside until they went to sleep to keep the swords and the famines from getting them.